Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories.
Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm Tom.
And I'm John.
And I'm Chuck.
And holy shit, it's all three of us.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we promised them we would have somebody with firsthand knowledge of Afghanistan and somebody they were familiar with. How the fuck are you, buddy?
I am doing fantastic, considering I'm still in the lovely state of California.
Yeah, I know.
But other than that,
I hated leaving you two behind, but, you know.
What are you talking about? California is fucking great. You get to live under tyranny. Communism. It's amazing. It's what all these fucking hippies want.
That's only because Chuck rides his ass on IOD 24/7, so
he
doesn't have to pay for anything. He doesn't have to do anything.
I'm living off the government right now.
Well, you know, actually, it's kind of fun because not only am I getting to talk to John, but I got to see John. I got to see you, like, what, just a couple days ago.
I know. I didn't want to leave.
No, John came up to visit because John's father also lives up here. John, your dad lives, like, literally, like, 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah, I know. It's legit.
And so it's great. Get to see Elliot. We're going to have him back on the show, obviously, but... then John came up to visit, and it was good times. It was really nice to be able to hang out. And we talked about doing this episode a little bit, and then Chuck made it happen. And Chuck is now over there with you guys, or with you guys are over there, and I'm over here. I guess it is just you guys.
Yes.
I'm the odd man out now.
So well, yeah, but you're in God's country. At least you're somewhere nicer, and that doesn't live under fucking Newsom's thumb. And Pelosi's thumb.
Yeah, I got to go out this weekend and get on the list for suppressors. It takes about 6 months.
Or so. You need to go to Afghanistan and grab one for fucking free.
Well,
like fucking candy.
So therein lies our topic for the day is, I don't even know what, is it a shit show? Is it a dumpster fire? But this episode, we're going to be talking about Afghanistan. And I don't know, boys, where do we even start with this? I'm so fucking, like, I'm beyond pissed. Like, I don't even know how to be angry at this point. I'm kind of like laughing, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, you could start with the part where, you know, you got the shit show going on whatever media you want to watch, right? You got the shit show going on. But then you have, I just want to clear something up real quick. So a lot of this is getting blamed on Trump, surprisingly, right? How Trump was going to pull everyone out anyways. Trump was going to end the war. Trump was going to end the war. Well, to some degree, that is true in a sense of he was going to pull people out. But yes. He wasn't just going to fucking pull the entire military out with no type of support for the people that are over there. And he wasn't going to do it all at once. I think I already said that. But he wasn't going to do it all at once. And why the hell would you leave any type of sensitive information there? I can pretty much guarantee that he wouldn't have left all that other stuff out there. So yes, Trump was going to start pulling people out of that country, but in my opinion, was also going to leave an American presence, whether that's from the air, you know, the sneaky squirrel stuff, like whatever it is.
I'm sure it's going to be drones and, you know, super secret squirrel shit.
In order to support the people that are over there, because as we all know, before this happened just recently, we all knew that as soon as we left, all the assholes are coming back. They just fled to other countries and they just ran the operation from other countries. The best way to look at it is like a prison system, right? So you got the you know, you can take whatever prison gang you want, but ultimately they call shots on the streets. So it's the same thing. They're in other countries, they're calling shots in Afghanistan, and they're just waiting for us to leave. That's it.
Right.
I mean, Biden completely fucking wrecked this thing. I mean, to be honest. And what John was saying is that, you know, Trump wasn't just going to pull out all the way. He wasn't just going to be like, oh, well, you guys can have all of our shit and we're just going to leave and we're not going to be able to get our Americans home that are still stranded and the people that we promised to come over are going to be stranded there. You know, you look at Japan, you look at, you know, Germany. Well, after all those wars and everything, we left an American presence there. You look at South Korea, there's an American presence there. You know, there's thousands upon thousands of U.S. troops on all three of those places. So for this president and whatever.
If we're crying out loud, we still have troops in Korea.
Yeah. I mean, you look at all that, like, and you look at
the Korean War was in the 50s, bro. 70 years ago.
Well, I'll take you back more. So I was there in 2008, 2009. And I think it was in 2000 and, man, it was only a few years after I was there, because where I was right on the border of Pakistan. And so I would say a few years had gone by, and in a weird turn of events, we had given up ground even back then. We gave back a portion of some area that we fought over and controlled at that time. And which was really, at the time, on a smaller scale, was kind of pretty infuriating. We're like, dude, I just spent God knows how much time there doing, you know, whatever I was doing there. And ultimately, you know, people die, people get hurt, people, whatever. And we just give it back. Here you have it back. No problem. No issues. We don't need it anymore.
But not only you can have it back, but here, we're going to leave a bunch of shit there that you can take.
So this is all. So what I know, right. So what I'm saying is that I'm just letting the listeners know that this was happening already. Not necessarily on the scale it is now, but on a much smaller scale, some things were in the works and some things were happening. I don't want to go too political with it because I can go down a whole nother road with that. But but as far as what's happening now, I mean, it's pretty sad. It's pretty, I mean, like, how do you not, you know, you spend 13 months in a place where, you know, you've literally survived. That's what it was. It was survival for 13 months, helping, because there are people there that do want to be helped. So you're helping those people out and ultimately losing friends and whatever else you're doing there. And then to watch what's happening now, you feel betrayed and you feel disgusted and you feel angry. And I know I have a family now, but if you gave me a plane ticket right now to go back, I'd do it. 100% I would do it. Just knowing that there's Americans stranded there in places I was. Mm-hmm. I know that place like the back of my hand.
You're like, no, I got to go home. You're coming home too, fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I think that's how a lot of us feel. I mean, there's a lot of us that talk within like Facebook groups or text message threads or whatever. And everyone's on the same sheet of music. They're like, dude, if we can literally re-up right now and not have to do another basic training to in, you know, lieu of time, like just give us a fucking gun and get us over there, I can guarantee 99.9% of the people would go there.
Right. Oh, it'd be massive. It'd be on a massive scale.
Right. And it, because, well, we've talked about it a ton of times. It's because you guys signed up for it. You went there. Hell, John, you got a bonus just to guarantee. Yeah, you can send me over there. Fuck it. You know, like you didn't know. You weren't like unaware of what you were getting into. You knew and you were okay with it. And you're okay with it now. And I guarantee you that. You're 100% right. There are probably a majority, almost an entirety of the vets would be like, no, I'll go back.
Yeah. Because this is bullshit. Just to get everybody out, it's a shit show. I mean, just to get everybody out, it sucks and it's sad. I mean, this could have easily been avoided if it was done the right way. And I mean, now it's to the point where I think Biden is backpedaling a little bit, even though I know deep down he doesn't give a fuck what's happening over there. He does not care about Americans. He doesn't care about Afghanis. He doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about his country, as far as I'm concerned. If he did, his actions would obviously show a lot differently. But I think he's doing a little backpedaling because I don't think he was expecting the type of pushback that he's getting, even within his own people.
I think you're right. He didn't expect the pushback or what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think to a certain extent, I mean, he knew it was going to be a cluster. Right. But I don't think he realized people that actually supported him were going to be like, bro,
What are you doing?
Yeah, whoa. Like, this isn't right. For crying out loud, if you look at the most liberal media controlled stations, right, you got CNN. CNN is holding him to the fire. They are burning him. And that, in my opinion, shows they're just getting ready to oust him, right? So
Wait a minute. You just said something interesting. Is this like them telling doddering old Joe, hey, no, cool, you can leave Afghanistan behind. Nobody will care. It's not that big of a deal. And then he says, okay, do it. And then they know it's going to backfire on him. And then they use this as a freaking excuse to, hey, bro, you got to resign. And now Kamala's fucking president.
Well, they could, but I think that was ultimately the goal.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if that was like, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this was just part of the bigger plan. And you know, now it's sad because it's like, what do? You've got innocent kids and children and, you know, all, it's just a mess. And it's like, what do you do? In my opinion, you know, we go in and Americans are first. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'm sorry. And then whatever else we could do collaterally to help in the end, great. But we have now literally, for the war we've done in the last 20 years was, I hate to say it, but it was almost for nothing, because now what?
Right.
It's right back to where it started.
Yeah.
Except now the Taliban is stronger and they're smarter. Guys,
bro.
Right.
Now, we've been getting a lot of, I guess, questions and stuff like that from a lot of the shit that we've been posting on Instagram and Facebook. And one of the major ones that kept coming up, and I think it was a bunch, I don't remember the exact amount, but they were asking, when the military leaves and you know you're going to leave, do you just leave your gear behind, or you just decide to destroy it? And I know when I was in, and it's the same time that John was in, if you had to leave gear behind, any sensitive information, you would destroy it. You'd blow it up. You'd get rid of it. You'd make sure that your communications were completely fucking destroyed, you know, by putting a grenade on top of it and walking away and blowing up your whole vehicle. For us, it would be tracks or MRAPs or whatever we were in. But you were told to destroy it. And they were asking, well, why didn't the military destroy it? My answer was, well, you're supposed to destroy it, but I don't think they had time, because the boots on the ground are, you know, they're doing the Lord's work out there. But then you have people up top that, you know, maybe aren't keeping them in, I don't know, informed, I guess. But my question is for John, what do you think happened with that? From spending so much time out there, do you know they're doing good work out there, but do you think that
how did the shit get left
from the top, and they kept the people there, the higher ups there on the ground? Do you think they knew it was going on and they knew that was going to happen? They didn't have a chance to get any of that stuff out.
All right, so if I go a little off track, just wind me in, because I think that answer, it's a long answer. It's not necessarily like that's what they did. So, in my opinion, and you know, for you people that are still in the military, you know, I'm sorry, this is no disrespect to you, and it's no disrespect to, you know, the people that, you know, are obviously out there doing a good job, but I believe that this plan, and again, this has to do with a lot of government stuff, and really what I believe is the ultimate plan within the government, but I believe since I was in, and even before, the government has been making a softer soldier. That's my opinion. There was, when I was in, they were running tests for different basic trainings, right? So in the Army, when you have the infantry, you have your infantry and your basic training together. That at the time was the hardest basic training in the Army you can go to, right? Well, while I was there, they were running different programs for different groups that were going through the same basic training for infantry, and some, like, they had like scales, right? So this was going to be the easy scale, then the moderate scale, and the hard scale. I remember watching DIs fucking punch people out where I was, and I was like, holy fuck, this is a real deal. But then I can also remember like seeing other units being like, you know, they were within basic for like 3-4 weeks, and you know, they're having phone calls to mommy every fucking day. Like, it's just, it was super weird. And I didn't find out till after that's what they were doing. So whether they kept that trial going or not, I don't know, but that was confirmed that that's what they were doing. So I do believe that there has been some sort of conditioning for something like this later on. Now, to get to wrap that all the way back to, do I think everyone just left it? I believe they just left it. I believe that to a certain extent, at some point in the chain of command, however high you want to go, knew what the plan was. At whatever level that was, I don't really know. But when it gets down to the soldier saying, dude, you got your M4 on you, everything else, everyone get the fuck out, we're leaving. No one's going to question, because it's been conditioned for years. for years and years and years. Because I know that when I was deployed, if a supervisor had come up, a sergeant, a lieutenant, a captain, whoever the fuck came up and said, hey, we're getting the fuck out of here, the first thing I'm gonna do is go, hold on. Why? No, this doesn't make sense. Like, we need, like, everybody knows what's going on 24/7. That's kind of like a battle 101. Everyone knows what's going on just in case the fuck everyone gets waxed except for the private. He still knows what the fuck's going on.
Right.
So back then, I think it would have been very questioned and been like, no, we're not playing this fucking game. And there's no excuse that I can think of except for just straight up getting overran than to leave everything. And then even then, it wasn't my deployment, but the deployment after, I had some buddies in. They had a lookout position, or the cop, or not a FOB, it was more of a cop. It was like a small little outpost that did get overrun. And when they got overran, they were throwing grenades and all sorts of crazy shit in the MRAPs that were up there, just trying to destroy everything. So that's common practice. So I believe, in my opinion, that something like this was in the works for a long time. Who was involved? Who knows? But to condition a soldier to just do what the fuck they're told, not question anything, and now look what you have, everything left over. So like I said before, at some point, yes, someone made a decision, everything is getting left. And I do believe it was left to supply our enemy. That's what I believe. I believe it was there to supply them with all the firepower, with all the vehicles, with everything. Because like I said before, in my time, that would have never happened. That's my opinion.
Do you think in that case, because it was left, you think it was to fund another war, to get us into another war? Because obviously they're an armed army now. I mean, as fucked up as they are, but they have, you know, aircraft. We all know that they can fly. They have weaponry, explosive drones. They have everything. Body armor, fatigues. Do you think that's to get us into another war? Or?
I don't think it's to get us into another war. I just think that it was a deal. I think it was a deal.
It has to be. It's the only thing that makes sense, because if you think about it, we don't like body armor and shit. Like, I would understand vehicles being, having, you know, sensitive electronics pulled out and then leaving the steel and the, you know, whatever. I can even understand that to a certain extent, but literally uniforms, body armor, explosives, functioning drones. These are things that if you know you're pulling out of Afghanistan, you don't leave them behind ever.
It's billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Right. And it's sensitive equipment. It's technology that these fuckers have no business holding on to. So
right now, China and Russia are foaming at the mouth because of the things that the Taliban have right now in their possession.
Right.
And so, like I said, I think it was part of a deal between our shady fucking government, Russia, China, and the middleman, not even a middleman. It's like the messenger. It's kind of like the little pawn, in my opinion, are the fucking Arabs. They're the pawn. I don't even think it's they're our enemy. It's the other two that we have to worry about. That's my opinion, though.
Yeah. I mean, all things being equal, that's as plausible an explanation as it's a more plausible explanation than we just chose not to give a shit and we didn't realize how bad it was going to go. And there's, you're telling me that when the Biden administration says, this is what we had to do, we had to get out of Afghanistan, we set the deadline. Okay. So you didn't plan for it at all. You didn't make arrangements? Like, shit, I had to just move a house full of people across state lines. And it took me, you know, 2 months of planning. Right. So
yeah,
you didn't plan for this.
It was planned.
Well, that's what I mean. It wasn't planned. They're saying, oh, well, we were just caught off guard. No, bullshit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, there's no fucking way they got caught off guard.
No, this is the backpedaling that they're doing now.
I think everybody that was in that country trying to do the right thing got caught off guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. They got, well, I think left out to fucking dry is probably more accurate. I mean, when the Brits are our, you know, okay, we started out, you know, we didn't like each other so much, but we became fast friends. And now the Brits and the Aussies and, you know, these countries are as close as we have to, you know, sister countries, I guess. And the Brits, my understanding is there were reports of British soldiers getting in shouting matches with American military leadership because the British soldiers were going out to actually like rescue people.
Right.
And the Americans were pissed off at the British for doing that because it was pissing off the Taliban.
Right.
Wow.
What the actual fuck over?
regardless of the arguments, you know, good on them because they keep running operations. So yeah. they didn't stop their operations, which is nice. You know, like, ooh, big bad America. Dude, the US is a bunch of fucking bitches as far as I'm concerned at this point. We're not what we used to be.
No.
Period.
This is literally Vietnam part two.
It's sad. It's so sad.
Oh, it's worse. It's gonna be worse.
Yeah.
So this is what I see in the next 30 days. I don't think Biden has got time in office for more than 30 to 90 days. I'm guessing 30 to 90 days. That's my guess. And I'm also going to guess if we don't meet the deadline, which we won't, to get everybody out, because now the Taliban has made the deadline. And
yeah, the 31st, right?
Yeah, it's the 31st. It's not happening. And the amount of slaughters that are about to happen. I mean, first of all, they're not broadcasting all the things that are really happening now. So the things that are happening now, these fucking animals are going to people's homes. They're going through people's phones. They're going through all these people's things. And if they have any type of tie to any type of coalition force, they mark the home and write the names down. If not, killing them on the spot and or raping the women and the children.
Right. Because that's a punishment in that culture. That's how you punish people.
Yes. And then the onslaught that's going to come after the 31st is going to be on a whole nother level. And who leaks it, I don't know, but hopefully we have enough people on the ground there or enough people there that are able to leak it. Cause or you know what, it's like, now that I'm thinking about it, because right now the media is not on Biden's side. So for all we know, they're going to fucking be like, look what's happening. So who knows?
Yeah.
Now I got another question for John. With all the equipment that's been left there, especially the cryptology and the radios, now that's what keeps us from being able to have the enemy listen if you're in country. So you have loaded up your crypto so that no one can kind of like a scanner, like police radios. You can't just have a scanner and listen in. Well, the cryptology keeps people from listening in because it blocks them out. Now, with all of that new technology they have, if they can figure out the crypto on the radios and be able to listen to us, if we have to go back in, what do you think that would look like? How bad do you think it would be? Unless you come up with a whole new radio system.
No, I think that they could listen to us even before they had it.
Really?
Yeah. Because remember, this goes back to Russia and it goes back to China. And those two countries are extremely advanced. And again, I think they've been able to listen to us for a long time. And you got to remember all the backdoor deals that were going on with China that were exposed between Biden and fucking what's his name? Hunter.
G. Oh yeah. Hunter Biden as the go-between for.
Yes. So all these things were in the works a long time ago. And so I don't believe that by them having these things, it's not like, in my opinion, is the Taliban so sophisticated that they can reproduce by themselves what they got when it pertains to radios and things like that? Not really. Like, I don't think so. But that doesn't mean we don't know exactly what they have. And that doesn't mean they can't take it back to mommy and daddy and be like, look what we found. And then they get some sort of information off of it. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. So what's interesting is we've talked about proxy wars before, and we've talked about, you know, how in a Cold War, you know, the Russians are fighting the Afghans. And so we were supporting the Mujahideen, and then we were fighting the Afghans. And so then the Russians are supporting the Mujahideen. Like, it's this endless cycle of, you know, I'm going to, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. And what's interesting is now we're not just seeing that happen in Afghanistan, which that's what we're here talking about. But I just wanted to draw a parallel, because now what we're seeing is the Portland police just basically backed out of a conflict between Antifa and the Proud Boys and said, fuck it, you guys work it out, and let them beat the shit out of each other. Like, that just happened. So
that's not necessarily a bad solution to the problem.
Well, so here's the thing. It's interesting, because what I find most interesting about is there's like the foreign proxy wars where foreign governments are propping up the Afghans to fight whoever's fighting them. Right. Like we were talking about. But then there's the domestic proxy wars where you have democratic organizations, or I should say even progressive organizations like Soros and his kind of people, like to back BLM and like to back Antifa because they are pushing the agenda publicly that they can't. Right. Mm. So I feel like that's all part and parcel with this, is trying to just structurally and foundationally weaken us both at home and abroad.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. I mean, there can't. What else would the reason be?
I mean, look at China. China's already been buying land in the United States, agricultural land.
Yeah, like we should be allowing that. What the hell?
We should. And my partner at work had a crazy theory that he goes, this is all basically to prop up China to come in and take over our lands and stuff like that. So now we're buying, you know, our produce from China and having to import it, even though it's grown in the United States. And then they'll have control over the United States because they've been trying to or want to weaken us, you know, for forever, but they just couldn't because there's so many guns and stuff like that. And I was like, well, it kind of makes sense. I mean, they're sitting there buying up all the land. And I was like, nah, it's bullshit. He's not buying up land. And then all of a sudden you start seeing all the shit coming out where China's buying up a lot of land in the United States. And it's not small amounts. It's big fucking amounts.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, how are we taking a strategic enemy and going in and letting them, you know, the whole point of not allowing a foreign government to own land in your country is that it's your own country. Like, fuck off, right? It's like the most basic principle you would think. But we seem to be, basically, everybody needs to go back and watch the movie Red Dawn. What the hell? Like,
dude. There was a game that John and I used to play in 2011, 2012. Was it Battlefield? And it was us going against Russia. Or is that one of the
Battlefield?
We used to play it on
video game.
Oh yeah.
Video game, and it was us basically going against Russia in like a World War III. And I'm like, dude, this is starting to get pretty scary. When
shit like the battle you fight in DC in front of the Capitol, that one.
Yeah.
Look, if you look back in history, besides saying history repeats itself, if you look back, I mean, I don't want to go off on some crazy shit right now, but I'll use it as an example. Okay. but I'll use it as an example, right? Before aliens and things like that were declassified, right? Before they were declassified, everyone had an image of what an alien was, right? Right. And where did that come from? Shows, movies, and whatever else. And I'm going back. This is all recorded back to the 40s, 30s, 20s, 1920s. Far, far back, right? It's all of a sudden declassified, and the government comes out and saying, yep, you know what? These things are real, and this is what they look like. Well, why is it that they look now the same as what they – well, they've been saying it since before we were all born.
Wait, what report? I know the UFO report came out.
It did.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah, right. But okay, what I'm saying is, like, but these spacecrafts and the people
right,
now allowed to speak about it, you know, they were able to have, like, sketches drawn and all this. Everything looks the same.
Yep.
Why? Now, in my opinion, again, this is going off some crazy shit, but I think that when you get into the whole movie industry, it gets really deep. And I think that, again, the culture of this country has been continuously conditioned for years and years and years and years, not just for the military aspect of things, but from the UFO side of things too. Reagan said it. And Trump said it. Now, in my opinion, two of the best presidents we've ever had. They both made comments about an interstellar or galactical war. Well, why?
Yeah.
Nobody knows why, right? Nobody knows why.
No,
okay.
No, not at all.
All right. So no, we don't know
why. I mean, Trump formed the Space Force, but and Reagan always talked about, do you remember what Star Wars, the SDI, the Space Defense Initiative?
Correct. Yes. Yes. There's too many parallels. So what I'm saying is this goes back to conditioning. I think, in my opinion, all these things are happening. I think that we haven't even seen the worst of it yet. And I think that ultimately something bad is going to happen stateside because of what's going on there now. And we all, I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but Thomas, I think you know, but you know, you talk about like the Great Reset and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know, like I spoke about, or we've all spoken about it.
We've had episodes about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent because I already know. I mean, I know what we're talking about here is, but bringing the Afghanistan into play here is, I just want the listeners to know that keep this on your radar, but keep something bigger on your radar is what I'm saying. Because this is just one play in a very big playbook, in my opinion.
It's so far out of left field.
I sound schizophrenic as fuck.
A little bit.
But here's the thing.
I'm not crazy.
Like, I feel like there's people every day waking up And like, okay, I'll give you COVID as a perfect example. All the people said, look, you're being paranoid. Just get the vaccine and we can all take our masks off. You're being paranoid. I'm like, no fuckers. They're not gonna let you take your masks off. Watch. And so there's a whole portion of people that got the shot. And now, you know, those who've listened to Locker Room, they know Marco got the shot because it was going to be so much easier for his life traveling to do his work. And now it's like, oh, but also you still have to mask up again and you have to get a booster. And now, da, 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 da. And it's literally like, to use a nerd reference, it's like Darth Vader, you know, I'm altering the deal. And it's like, well, you can't alter the deal. Well, too fucking bad. I'm Darth Vader, right? It's the government saying, hey, we know we gave you a bunch of promises. We told you a bunch of things that we were going to do as long as you just went along with the program. And now that you've gone along with the program, we don't have to keep our word. Well, that's what they're right. doing every right. step of the way.
Correct. Yeah. People are too fucking blind to see it.
Right.
I think I'd like to think that that there are more than, you know, I like to think that the majority actually do see it. But again, because we're talking to media or we're looking at media and we're looking at all these controlled stations and all this other stuff, you know, they don't make it sound like people are catching on or, you know, I think there's like, so you got places like, you know, like Idaho and Montana and Wyoming and like have all these places that, you know, they fucking know what's up. Right. And then there's places like, in my opinion, like California, you're not going to convince me California didn't turn red during the last election. In my opinion, it went red. I think it did. Was it close? Yeah, it was probably close. But I think it went red. I've never seen so many fucking Trump signs from fucking almost San Diego to fucking Los Angeles in my entire life. And we're talking about an extremely liberal state. So where I'm going with that is that I think, I told you, don't let me go off on a tangent because I'll just.
No, I'm going to tag up on it because I've got something coming out of Torrance PD that if you haven't been watching the news.
Oh, yeah, the 300. The ballots.
300 yes. ballots. Okay, so,
correct. Yes, yes, yes. So what I'm kind of hoping for, and, you know, I think we can all kind of hope for this, is that some of the states now that obviously have caught on to the election fraud and all this stuff are putting things in place where hopefully it won't happen again. And hopefully, you know, like California, lost cause, whatever. It's too corrupt, in my opinion. California is too corrupt. It's too deep. California will stay blue if every Republican in the United States lived in California. It would be blue. So it doesn't really matter. But there are a bunch of states that are putting in like all these laws and all these precautions into effect for the next election because they knew it was dirty as fuck. Didn't do anything about it prior to, but maybe on the next one, you know, maybe we'll see another Trump right. or whoever else. I don't know.
Now, what's the Florida guy? Well, wait, let's back up to this fucking 300 ballots thing because that ties in. So if for the listeners that don't know, Torrance is a city in Southern California, just south of Los Angeles. You know, it's heavy industrial, like it's a shithole in a lot of places. Like Torrance fucking, you know, they arrest people, they shoot people, like there's some shit in Torrance. Well, they get this felon and they arrest him with a bunch of shit, and one of the things they find is 300 ballots for the California recall election. What the fuck is a felon, a fleeing felon who's got all these drugs and shit on him that the cops are arresting, why is he carrying around 300 ballots?
And a gun.
Unless there's a black market for ballots, right? Felons aren't, he wasn't collecting them to drop them off at the post office. Why the fuck would he have them? Obviously he's doing, we say it all the time. John and I have, God damn it. How many times from the start of this whole show have we said, fucking shitheads are going to be shitheads. Dirtbags are going to be dirtbags. They're fucking going to do dirtbag shit. So if a dirtbag has 300 fucking ballots for a recall election on him, chances are he's not collecting them for fucking public service.
Now he's being paid to.
Right. It's for dirtbag money, dirtbag shit. Something fucking is up. And that's one felon with 300 ballots. Imagine 100 felons with 300 ballots.
But that wasn't even the first one that got busted. There was another one in LA County. I don't think it was 300. I think it was, you know, it was a good amount, but from like 100 or something like that. But it didn't go viral like this 300 one. But there was another incident where someone got caught in LA County with a fuck ton of ballots for this election.
Really?
Yeah.
For the recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I remember seeing it on like Facebook or something, like up in the AV or something.
And that's the thing. There's been so much shenanigans now where you hear reports of people throwing away ballots and you hear reports of people being caught with 300. Like, I'd be curious to know who every single one of those ballots was cast for.
Right.
And are they blank? If they're blank, where the fuck did he get them? Hell, if they're not blank, where the fuck did he get them?
They look like they're all like sealed. Now, was that the seal to go back, or was that the seal that was sent out
to open them? Right. Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, I think John, that's why I brought it up, John, is because you keep saying that you sound paranoid, but at the same time, like, I think there's at least one person a day waking up and seeing something happen on the news and going, okay, now I called my friend crazy and said he was being a little paranoid with all his government shit he was saying, but now I'm starting to wonder. And I think it's happening more and more every day.
You see some weird shit out there. And like John was saying, like conditioning and all this weird shit's been coming out. You've been saying all this weird shit has been coming out, and a lot of people are just conforming. Well, it brings me back to something, and I'm going to sound crazy, but I wanted to be hypnotized one time, so I tried to do it. And I was unable to get hypnotized. And I talked to the hypnotist, and which was in the squad bay.
It was for his erectile dysfunction disorder.
Yeah. Can you hypnotize a boner on me?
No, but so I asked him to hypnotize me because he was doing it to everyone, making people walk like ducks, speaking different languages. It was fucking awesome. So I was like,
yeah, but how many of those people were going along because they were expected to?
No, dude, they did some shit, and one of our DIs almost got hypnotized and tried to smack him at the very end when he was going under. Like, this was some weird shit. Okay. That was towards the end when we became anyways. So I asked him, I was like, well, why couldn't I be hypnotized? Why can't you make me do this weird shit? He's like, well, you have a stronger mind than other people. The people who are weak-minded and will allow people to suggestion to come in are easily able to be controlled by somebody else. Which brings me back to when John said conditioning. Well, and then the United States or America has been conditioned from long ago. Well, there could have been this because there's people that I know that are staunch Republicans, and all of a sudden this whole COVID thing, and now I'm getting texts and stuff like that and basically getting yelled at because I don't want to get vaccinated and because I don't want to lose my freedoms over this fucking vaccination because I think it's crazy and I don't believe in the mandate. I believe in, you know, medical choices. It's your choice. If you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. You know, we don't force flu shots, but at some point there's going to be some sort of conditioning in there. Now, is it people were watching some sort of show and being hypnotized to be easily by a code word or whatever to be, you know, controlled or whatever? I don't fucking know. There's a lot of weird shit that's been going on lately that could suggest some sort of suggestion based shit. What do you want to call it? Brainwashing or whatever. Maybe the CIA developed. Who fucking knows? But there's been some weird programs back in the day, especially used by the CIA. Okay.
Yes. And we've talked about it on this show. And if you, again, I'm going to say this for the listeners. If you think that Chuck talking about brainwashing or hypnotism or John talking about conditioning, if you think that shit is crazy,
you ready for this?
Go up and look MK Ultra. Go up and look at the Tuskegee experiment, right? Our government has a big fat fucking history of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Where did masculinity go in men growing up? Where?
Yeah.
Someone fucking research that shit for me, because I already did.
Yep.
You got fucking boys running around in like little kitty costumes at fucking the high schools around here. Get the fuck out of here. We're the bullies. We're the people that stand up to bullies. Like, where's like the normal childhood bullshit that we do with? Masculinity is gone. And we take masculinity away from a man. What does he do? He complies. That's my opinion.
Well, that could be a deliberate, if you add this all together and you say, okay, it's all coincidence. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it was a deliberate demasculinizing of this generation of males. Because guess what? In one generation, we went from fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, rage against the machine, to fuck your free, Arnold Schwarzenegger going, fuck your freedom, go get vaccinated. You know, like,
how
I know.
Now he could die of a heart attack from all his fucking steroids. I don't even care. Waste of air.
You know, I was hoping he'd come out the Terminator. Now I would never even watch it or pay money for it.
Yeah. #NotMyConan.
Guys are twat now.
The best meme I saw was a picture of his father rocking his beautiful Nazi uniform from World War II when he was in Austria, and then Schwarzenegger with the caption, you know, screw your freedom. And at the bottom of the meme said, like, father like son, you know?
Yeah. So I was going to say, John, what do you think's next? You kind of touch base a little bit on it in this whole, what's going to happen left in Afghanistan within like next year or so. Back. I think it's a possibility.
I don't think we're ever going to put as many troops in, like, on the ground there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, you know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Biden's out, Kamala's in, she starts doing a shit ton of air raids and like, oh, look at me, I'm looking out for the people.
I'm a hero.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind some stuff like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised with some things like that.
She'll go out and fucking hand out like biscuits. She'll make an appearance in Afghanistan and give food to kids. Yeah,
just dumb shit like that. You know, or for all we know, again, it could just be all smoke and mirrors. I mean, they might bomb a few things and then just keep replaying the same thing at different times. And like, who knows? Like, you know, just to make it look like we're constantly doing something. Yeah, I don't know. Sure. What I do know is if you got any type of family member over there, I'm sorry, come the 31st, because there's going to be a slaughter and there's nothing.
If you wonder, go ahead.
All I was going to say was, and there's nothing that this president and or this regime is going to do about it. They're going to sit back and they're going to watch it.
Yeah. If you wonder why people hire the A-team, this is why people hire the A-team, because you need to hire somebody who has skills to go fucking get your family member out of a foreign country that where the government can't go, but a private military group is willing to go sneak in there, you know, free them and get the fuck out. Like, it's silly as it sounds. That's literally what ends up happening in these kinds of situations. I mean, hell, you look at the POW MIA movement from Vietnam, right? A whole genre, Missing in Action, Rambo, like, a whole genre of film popped up, and the parallels are the same. I mean, we're going to have a whole bunch of people that never see their loved ones again and are constantly left wondering, are they dead or are they in some rape dungeon in a cave in Talibanistan? Like, they'll never know because they have a family over there that's just never going to be heard from again, period.
And by the way, the one thing we didn't talk about, and just briefly, if you look at the pictures of, because I just wanted to bring up the refugee thing, and take a look at some of the pictures of like the C-130s that are flying out the quote refugees. Someone count how many women or children are on there.
Yeah.
And then also count how many military age males are on there.
Yeah.
And tell me what the fuck is going on with that. So mark my words, I guarantee if we get hit in the US at some point, because I know we will, and when we do, and somebody claims it in the Middle East, I guarantee they will tie it back to someone we brought over here. I guarantee
it. 100%. Oh, for sure.
Well, there was just a post on it, not just the other day. It was, I want to say, Afghani military, Afghani police. And he basically did this long thing. I posted it, I believe. And he said another 9/11 is coming. Good luck.
Yeah, it's not like... You haven't, it's not like, oh, this is just going to be a shit show pullout and, you know, it'll die down and it'll be egg on his face. No, we're going to feel the wrath from this level of bad decision making for years. And, you know, say what you want about him. I can guarantee you that if Trump were still in office, I'll put it that way, and the Taliban had said, you have until the 31st, he would have done exactly what Dan Crenshaw said that Biden should do, which is tell the Taliban to go fuck themselves. We will take as long as it takes to get our people out. Oh, also, we're going to blow up our shit so you can't have it. And if you don't like it, or one of your freaking Hajis just happens to be driving that MRAP when we decided it needs to be self-destructed, that's on him. That's what would be happening.
Have we ever had a president that you can think of that negotiated with terrorists?
Jimmy Carter.
Oh, you're right. He did.
But that's the thing. As I'm watching this and I'm getting shades of the Iran hostages.
Yeah.
Right. And then Reagan came in and was like, I got elected.
You've got fucking 5 minutes.
You've got fucking. And they were like, oh, shit, Reagan won? We're just going to let him go.
I mean, went through boot camp and basic, well, that shit was ingrained in us. You know, you don't negotiate with terrorists. You know, if you're captured and you say X, Y, and Z, that's it. You don't fucking talk. You don't negotiate with terrorists.
Ever.
I don't know what happened.
Our commander.
I mean, dude. And that's the other thing. Like, please, you're telling me that you think this guy is playing with a full deck? Really? Like, he repeats the shit they say in his earpiece.
And still fucks it up.
Like, they're like, salute the Marines. And he walks past the Marines, like, salute the Marines. Dude, this is, that's a scene you write in a movie that actually happened. I think as we're sliding into home base to close out this episode, we got a few more minutes. But the one thing, I mean, aside from seeing all these fucking kitbag terrorists with our gear that we just gave them ostensibly, them marching wearing boots and, you know, body armor and all that stuff, that really pissed me off. But the one that pissed me off the worst was the one where they, yes, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. The fact that they replicated the fucking Iwo Jima picture from Mount Suribachi just to fucking stick their middle finger in our face. Dude, if I could have pressed the fucking red button to fucking drop a 500-pound bomb on the fuckers as they recreated that picture, I would have done it myself, because fuck you, that's why.
And just remember, for the people that don't know, this is not a territorial war for them. This is not a war of just like, I hate you, you guys did this to us. This is a holy war to them.
Yes. And
the only way to win this war against these type of people is an absolute eradication.
Yep.
Period. And it's sad because there's a lot of collateral damage that comes with that. But you cannot kill an ideology without killing the ideology itself and everyone that believes in it.
Right. So, and that's the radical Islamic terrorism. It's the same thing as, you know, any other form of radical ideology. The only reason, like the only reason that there's no more there are a few Branch Davidians, but I mean, the Jonestown, you know, they all committed suicide, right? That's how you got rid of that church entirely, was everybody committing suicide because they believed in their cause. I mean, you know, except for the people that were murdered down there, which is really ugly and disgusting, but that's what happens in these massacres. You have people that are willing to go along with it because they're down for the cause, and everybody else that's not willing to go along with it, all the people that are down for the cause are like, well, fuck you, we're going to kill you anyway.
Right. Yeah.
That's what this is. And you're right. We're fighting a modern war against a 5th century opponent, because they're still fighting the Crusades.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? They're literally still fighting the Crusades. And there's just no two ways about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's going to be we're in for the long haul on this one. Unfortunately, and I don't know. I honestly don't know how this is going to affect the whole QAnon movement, because I know it's going to add fuel to the fire of the idea that this is a government that is invalid, and that Trump is like secretly the president from Mar-a-Lago and some of that crazy stuff. Like, there is something going on. I have no idea what it is, but we've talked about some theories, but there is definitely something going on, because nothing like this has ever happened. And it's all way too coincidental to be coincidence, if that makes sense.
Not only coincidental to be coincidence, but at an accelerated pace.
Right. It's like somebody, there's these lines, like the decade of the 60s was a line to hit the accelerator. And then, you know, you've got the Clinton, you know, administration hit the accelerator a little bit, but then you've got Obama was kind of, you know, hitting, like pushing some of these things, but he was still kind of mainstream. And now all of a sudden it's almost like, oh, well, Trump is a reaction to Obama, and now everybody hated Trump so much that we're going to flip super hard the other way and go like like Bernie Sanders level crazy, but with like Hitler type agendas, you know?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it's like, oh, well, shit, if Trump's going to, you know, if Trump's going to say all that kind of shit, then we can take our masks off and show everybody what we really want, which is, you know, I hate America, BLM saying that the United States flag is a symbol of terrorism and hate, critical race theory that America was built on racism, like all of these crazy fucking things that 10 years ago I would have thought was a bullshit satire article. They're dead serious. Dead serious.
Yeah.
And that's that type of shit that I'm talking about when it comes to like the hypnotizing shit. I mean, you have things that are so far-fetched to even fucking fathom and believe that how can people even believe this type of thing? How can anyone believe this shit? And then you have people that are literally getting into arguments regarding it. You know, it just blows my mind. And you go from what happened from when Biden got in office and you fast forward the length of time he's been in office, what are we in store for the next 18 months? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's scary.
So I wanted to, as we finish out, specifically wanted to speak to the issue of, and maybe John can speak to this. Well, I know John can speak to this better than I can. All the guys that, like you, went and served over there, but now they are feeling so just defeated and demoralized because they're massive injuries or their PTSD issues, or, you know, they didn't come back the same person they went, you know, but they always felt like they had a reason for doing it and a purpose for doing it. And now that's just, that's the final casualty is that they've been demoralized.
Yeah, I think, and again, this is just talking with, the group that I guess I'm involved in, right, that was over there and whatnot, and then other people that are kind of like third party type stuff. I don't know if demoralization is the right word. I just feel that it's like, I guess maybe, you know, maybe I'm speaking for myself and maybe I'm speaking for my friends, and this is just the vibe I'm getting. It's betrayal. It's like we were willing to go do this. So other people didn't have to. We went to go do this for this country, for yada. You can go down the list, right? Why we did all these things, whatever your reasonings were. And then by doing what just happened, you turned your back on us and said what you did, we didn't really actually give a fuck about because we did that in one day. You did this right. For 20 years. So, right. So, you know, the betrayal, the defeat, and then, you know, people, I think what I think irritates me the worst is that, and there's people that came back with way more issues than I did. And I just think about it on their level is like, they have to deal with these things for the rest of their life, whether it's a physical injury, a mental injury, whatever it is, they have to deal with it for the rest of their life. And for what?
Now for nothing.
Yeah. For what? I knocked someone out one time for telling me that you went over there for nothing. Actually, were you there? That was at Christie's party a long time ago. I had some guy in a group. I know some guy had said that to me, and now I look back on it. I'm like, well, was he right?
I gotta call that dude and apologize. Hey, yo, bro, remember that party?
He deserved what he got. No, he deserved what he got. But yeah. But yeah,
it was. I was probably drunk somewhere.
Probably. Yeah. Right. But anyways, yeah. But for anyone that is feeling that way, just, you know, you got to remember you did it. You did it for the right reasons, and not even just for the time. You did it for the right reasons, because if it wasn't you, then it would have been somebody else. And there was a reason that you went there, whether you believe religiously or not, you know, and whatever you believe in. I'm just saying there was a reason why you went and did what you did. And if this time period gets, you know, is just too rough. I mean, you guys are an outlet. I know you guys obviously have different people you guys can put people in touch with if they just need to talk. And I know people still hit you guys up on Facebook and Instagram and the phone number and all that other stuff. So there's people to reach out to. And then hopefully this episode, you know, maybe helps some people too. And I think enough people know me by now that you guys can find my Instagram, because people do all the time, my personal one, or on Facebook, and hit me up and want to talk and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Mushy gushy.
But you know, here's the, I think what I was just hearing and thinking about when you were saying that is, you don't do things, you don't do charity, you don't do the right thing, you don't do good things for recognition, you don't do it for a reward. That's not why we do any of that stuff, right? We always say you don't get into this job or join the military or anything like that for the pay, because it's, you know, why do you do it? Because it's a calling and because it's a purpose, right? So to those guys that are hurting, I would remind you that you went over there, and regardless of what these stupid ass politicians do, you did the right thing because it was the right thing to do at the time. And the fact that they're fucking up all your, you know, effort and stuff like that as best they can, you still did the right thing. That nothing will ever take that away from you, and nothing can ever change that. You did the right thing for you and for the people at the time, and that is never wrong.
Yeah, 100%. And by you going over there, you might have saved someone's life and you don't even know.
Right. You know, who knows? There could be a serious domino effect in all of this that you are not aware of. It's so just take that you did the right thing and you did your best. And next time fucking shit comes down to an election, punch all your Democrat friends in the face.
Tie them all up. Make sure they can't vote.
No, dude, there's only the dead ones that vote.
Oh, right.
And for everybody that's currently over there and that has been over there and served, I want to thank you for your service, because it means a lot to America. It means a lot to the people, and it means a lot to the Patriots and other military members. And John, I want to thank you for your service. It means a lot to all of us.
I don't want to thank anyone over there if you're just fucking complying. Stop being a fucking bitch. And mm-hmm. stand up and do the right thing.
Yeah, I agree with what
you're
saying.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you said, but I'm just saying, I wanted to say that.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is at some point, I'm speaking to everybody in the military who's listening, or everybody's going into the military and listening. At some point, I was just following orders doesn't cut it. Ask the Nazis at Nuremberg.
Correct.
Right? Ask the guy who drove the trains to Auschwitz. Ask the guy who manned the broom at the ovens. You know, at some point, the right thing to do is within you, and you know it. And if you don't do it, your ass is going to burn. I fucking promise you, you will fry for it, because ultimately evil does not go unpunished.
And if you guys can find somebody, seriously, if you guys can find someone that was over there during this time of this massive, just straight pullout, that, you know, maybe was in a unit that just left shit there, I would love to be sitting in front of them and hear what the fuck they have to say. It's probably not going to be well in my head, but I'm just saying, like, I would just love to hear their point of view and exactly what the fuck was going on the ground, because I wasn't there. None of us were there. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, it could be as simple as them telling all the boots on the ground, hey, yeah, we've got a team coming in to pick this shit up. And then once they get everybody on the plane, they're like, fuck that. We ain't picking that shit up.
Yeah. No,
but I'd be surprised if people were speaking out about it or weren't silenced. Or
how come you hear nobody? Nobody's saying anything.
No.
Why?
Nothing. Like, literally nothing. And everybody's...
You guys have enough listeners. You guys have enough listeners that are within the military ranks that for sure somebody knows somebody. Somebody knows somebody. I know it. And they're going to listen to this episode, and they need to be confidential and give us the scoop.
Yeah. And say, what the fuck happened?
Fuck, we can distort their voices and blur out their face and shit.
Yeah. They can just send us an email.
Yeah, an email would work. I want to hear their voice, but
I know I do too. But audio recording?
I'm going to hear their voice.
Yeah, dude, it'd be cool. So people know it's coming from someone, obviously.
Well, an email would be. You know, I wanted to. We always we don't have a guest. I guess John's our guest, right? So I will give you the opportunity to dedicate this episode to somebody, and I'm pretty sure I could probably guess how this is going to go, but you know, we always dedicate the episode. So who do you want to dedicate this episode to, John?
Sure. I'll dedicate this episode to Paul Edward Conlin, who died in 2008 in Wardak province in Afghanistan during combat operations. And just to give a little backstory on the type of guy that this guy was, is he was actually wounded months prior to him actually getting killed, and was almost directly hit by, I believe it was an RPG, and took a bunch of shrapnel and flew to the green zone. The last time I had seen him was in the green zone, and we were refitting, and even though we were deployed together, we were in different units, and showed me his Purple Hearts. He showed me like where shrapnel was still in his shoulder and where they had surgically removed it and blah, blah, blah. And he said that he had one way to get home, but he decided that he wasn't waiting and he was going to go back. And so that's what he did. He was not even fully healed, but they let him go back. I guess times were different back then. And then he was ultimately killed by an IED. So goes to show, you know, the type of person that dude was. And he also didn't even have to join the military if he didn't want to. That dude was set with millions of dollars for a settlement from his old company that he had worked for. That guy didn't have to do it. And he went all the way with it. So that's what I want to dedicate this to.
Well, I, you know, rest easy, brother. We've got it from here. And John, good to have you back, man.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's kind of weird being back. Not gonna lie.
And I mean, I know you got a ton of shit going on, you know, off the podcast, which is, you know, part and parcel with why
we are,
but it is nice to have you back. So you'll have to come back.
I will come back at some point. I will. Yes. I'll be back, Batman.
Anyway, Chuck, what do you got? We got where, how do people get a hold of us? And
booking.warstories@gmail.com. If you want to book an episode or know someone who you want to get us in touch with, email us there. You know, we're looking still for what I said last time, corrections officers and female in the military, because we have some listeners that have requested that and would like to hear, you know, their point of views and stuff like that. You can also reach out on Instagram and Facebook and direct message us there if you do not remember the email. And that's just war stories official on Instagram, Facebook. Can't really miss it.
Yep.
Oh, and we got shirts and we're getting patches and all that other stuff very shortly, and they will all be released at the exact same time. So be on the lookout for that within the next month.
Yep. And we're hoping to have some locker room shirts off that we can offer directly on our website. And we're going to be doing a web redesign. So Chuck and I are trying to figure out what that's going to look like. But until our next episode, come home with your shield or on it.